Well, praise the Lord. Everybody excited?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There should be excitement in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to hear testimonies of what God's done, of what He's doing. Amen. Hallelujah. It builds our faith. It encourages us, strengthens us to believe for greater things. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 16. In Revelation 16, 2. Well, in Revelation 16, God is sending angels to pour out judgment on the earth.
Yes.
And this judgment, these judgments are pictured as bowls. In Revelation 16, 2, the first bowl is foul and loathsome sores. Revelation 16, 3, the second bowl, the sea turned to blood. Revelation 16, 4, the third bowl, fresh waters are polluted. Revelation 16, 8, and 9, the fourth bowl, the sun scorches men. Revelation 16, 10, and 11, the fifth bowl, a plague of darkness. Revelation 16, 12 to 16, the sixth bowl, armies are gathered for a great battle. Which brings us to Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your presence, your glory here, Lord God. God, we thank you, Father, that God, you are opening our hearts, Father. You are taking us deeper than we've ever been before, Lord God. God, we are at a Kairos moment of time, Lord God. God, we are on the brink of revival, Lord God. And God, we need to hear you, Father. We need to hear you clearly, Father. God, we need our spiritual ears open, our eyes open, Lord God. Our hearts in tune with you, Lord God. And we thank you, Father. God, that you have prepared our hearts to receive your word this day, Father, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The Amplified puts it this way, 16:15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes. That is, staying spiritually ready for the Lord's return so that he will not be naked or spiritually unprepared and men will not see his shame. The title of the message, Guard Your Clothes.
Amen.
I'm one of these people that like to see the whole picture in things. I like the Paul Harvey stuff. Come on. You know, the rest of the story. And so I looked up the meaning of the word clothed. And listen to some of these descriptions. Clothed. Apparel. Appointed. Armed. Arrayed. Completed. Decked. Dressed. Fitted, furnished, provided, readied, supplied, clothed. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The Amplified, Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ into a spiritual union with Christ, the anointed, have clothed yourself with Christ, that is, you have taken on his characteristics and values. Mm-hmm. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. When you're born again, you are baptized into Christ. Made one with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, you have taken on his characteristics and his values.
Yes.
Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So we are given the righteousness of Jesus as a garment or as clothes. We are clothed in righteousness at that time. In Luke 15, there's a story about the prodigal son. Everybody knows the story about the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
How he got his inheritance, begged his inheritance, took it, went into a far country, and he squandered it. Threw it away. Lost it. Blew it. Whatever you want to say. He wasted it. I believe King James says wasted his substance.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally got to the place where there was famine in the land. Where there's waste, there's always famine. And there was famine in the land. There was no work. The unemployment rate was high. Couldn't find a job. And so finally, this prodigal son that wasn't satisfied at home, he had to get to the pit. He was out slopping the hogs. He was out feeding the hogs. And he got to the place where he saw what the hogs was eating that he wanted it. And he thought that would be pretty good if he could just have what the hogs was eating. And he finally got to the place where he realized what a mistake he had made, what he had lost, what he had forfeited. And he got to the place where he saw that his father's servants was better off than where he was. And so he made up his mind that he would go back and beg the Father to just let him be a servant. We don't know how long it took, how long he was in that far country, whatever. But we read that the Father saw him coming a long ways off.
Yep.
So the Father had never lost hope that he would come back. No matter where he was, no matter what he had done, that he would come home.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the picture of the Father looking, expecting the Son to come home. And if we have kids that are in a far country, we need to be expecting them to come back. So here's the Father, and he saw the Son coming a long ways off. And now picture the Son, and he's coming, and he is expecting to get a good tongue lashing, to be ridiculed, to be beat down, because he deserved it. And can you just see the Son coming? Don't know how long a journey this was, how long it took him, whatever. But there was probably uncertainty in every step.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the steps got slower the closer he got. But the Father saw him. And the Father run to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to the servants, bring the best robe. Put the best robe on him. This is my son. He's come home. Put the best robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Amen?
Amen.
As I was pondering this and meditating this, now you guys are probably going to think I'm out there a little bit. But anyways, well, I'll get to that. But anyways, the robe signified that he was righteous. He was in right standing with the Father. Amen?
Yeah.
A ring on his finger indicated sonship and authority. The shoes on his feet, slaves always went barefoot. And so, I believe the Father was saying to the Son, when he said, here's the robe, here's the ring, here's the shoes, I believe you've been a slave long enough.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to co-labor with me.
Yeah.
What a picture of salvation.
Amen.
What a picture of salvation. The Father saw us, all of us, coming a long ways off.
Yes.
And as I studied this, this Father said to the servants, bring the robe, bring the ring, and bring the shoes. I wonder, now this is just me, just food for thought for you guys, you know, you can think about it. I wonder if God speaks to the angels.
Yes.
And says, bring the robe. This is my son. This is my daughter. Come home. Bring the ring. Put it on their finger. This is my son. This is my daughter. I give them my authority.
Amen.
And bring in the shoes. Put the best shoes on them. They've been a slave long enough. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah.
Preach it.
Anyways, this takes the focus off of us and what we've done. And puts the focus on God.
Amen.
And what He's done.
Right.
Amen?
Yep.
Hallelujah. So that's righteous. At that time, we are clothed in righteousness.
Yes.
Before then, anything that we call righteous was filthy rags.
That's right.
No matter what we can do, no matter what we can say, no matter what we thought, you know, it wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was filthy rags.
Yeah.
And you need to go back and study that.
Amen.
Because that is deeper too.
Yes.
But we are clothed in righteousness. We are in right standing with God. And we have the righteousness of Jesus. We have the characteristics. We have the values of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now comes our part. Mm-hmm. See, that's God's part. He clothes in righteousness.
Yes.
But it's like the Bible talks about two different kinds of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amplified puts it this way. And put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike, in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation.
Amen.
So, we're to put this on. We're to clothe ourselves.
Yes.
Above all, we must not be naked.
Mm-hmm.
that is without a covering, we're called to put on the nature of Jesus in terms of practical holiness. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, God does His part and then He calls on us to do our part.
That's right.
So we're talking about clothing, we're talking about garments. Mm-hmm. So before we go on, let's take a minute to look at clothes in the natural. We're talking about clothes and things in the spirit. Sometimes if we don't see them, we don't understand them, we don't recognize them, we don't acknowledge them. Right? But things in the natural we can use as a parallel to things in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So we're going to look at clothes in the natural for just a minute. There was this Professor Karen Pine from the University of Hertfordshire suggests that what you wear can boost or lower your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Now in your mind, I want you to be comparing this to spiritual. We're going to talk about natural, but I want you to just apply it to spiritual too. Okay. Not only that we are what we wear, but we become what we wear.
That's right.
She goes on and says, whether you like it or not, your clothing communicates. And it can have a serious effect on your ability to achieve success. Mm-hmm. When you dress well, and it don't have to be expensive to dress well, right?
That's right.
We need to stay within our means. Shop wisely. But when we dress well, we're making a statement that you believe. When you dress well, you're making a statement that you believe it's God's will for you to prosper.
Yes.
And you are prospering.
Amen.
Now understand, when you do things in the natural, you are making a statement in the natural, but you are also making a statement in the spirit realm.
Yep.
I know that may be hard for some people to understand, but if you could see the spirit realm, see the spirit realm, whether it be holy angels or whether it be demons, they study people.
Yes.
They observe people. Research shows that your appearance strongly influences other people's perception of your financial success, authority, trustworthiness, intelligence, and suitability for hire or promotion. And because perception is often reality, what you wear not only communicates who you are in the mind of others, but also influences your level of career advancements. Many highly intelligent, well-qualified, capable men and women are often disqualified or dismissed because they don't sell for what they're worth. The lack of professional appearance holds them back. It's frustrating because clothing certainly does not determine one's actual competence and credibility. It does, however, influence others' perception of those qualities, and that reality impacts career opportunities.
Yes,
there was this man by the name of Adam D. Galinsky, a professor at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management. He found that, now listen to this research that he'd done. He found that when people don or put on a white lab coat they believe belongs to a doctor, they become more focused and careful. Mm-hmm. effectively a little smarter when performing cognitive tasks. For the study, Galinsky assigned 58 undergrads to wear either a white doctor's lab coat or simply the street clothes already on their back. He then used incongruent trials that tested their focus and mental acuity. He found that those who wore the lab coat made about half as many errors as those that wore street clothes. In the next test, he assigned 74 students three clothing options. Some would wear a white coat and were told it was a doctor's coat. Others wore an identical coat but was told it was a painter's coat. A third group merely looked at a white doctor's coat. The subject then took an attention test where they were asked to point out differences between two images and speedily write them down. Those that wore the doctor's coat performed significantly better than the other two groups. Though the results were white doctor's coat specific, Galinsky's work implies that merely wearing an item associated with intelligence can improve your cognitive abilities. New York Times reported on his findings. They said, clothes invade the body and brain, putting the wearer into a different psychological state. Now remember, we're talking about natural clothes and spiritual clothes. When you dress well, you exude confidence. Yep. Or you project confidence. People, even strangers, pick up on this. In return, they give you respect, and trust goes in hand with respect. I guarantee you, when you do this, opportunities will open to share Jesus Christ with people. You know, back when we was kids, a few years ago, yesterday, many moons ago, however you want to say it, you know, getting ready for church. How many remember the good old days? Okay, let me rehearse for you the good old days. Okay, Saturday, now, we lived out in the country. And we didn't get many visitors, you know. Very, very rare would people come to our house. But anyways, Saturday, the house would be scrubbed. Everything would be, you know, just great. Everything, you know, Saturday night was time for a bath. Everybody got a bath Saturday night, whether you needed it or not. Come on. Got a bath. All the Sunday clothes was laid out. Everything was done. Didn't do any work on Sunday. You know, done the chores, got meals, anything besides that, there was nothing done. And so, here's all the clothes, you know. Got your best clothes laid out for church, right? Clothes ironed, shirts ironed, everything pressed, everything ready for church. You know, and the clothes was the best that you had. No matter how old it was. I won't say whether they was new because back then. And some of them was store-bought and some of them was homemade. Absolutely. But anyways, they was the best. And, you know, a lot of the clothes, maybe back then, the women made them on the old Singer treadle sewing machine. So we dress up for what we're grateful for. Mm-hmm. Right? Today, many young people and baby boomers, they judge the value of a worship service based on personal satisfaction. And here's the attitude today. If I wear flip-flops to Walmart, I'll wear flip-flops to church. Yeah. If I take my coffee with me to work or to Walmart or wherever, I'll just take my coffee to church. Come on.
It's true.
Isn't this the attitude today?
Yep.
They're being told that come as you are, God wants you to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. Well, we tell people to come as they are. But remember, we've been praying for God to change them.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not to stay where they were, but to be changed. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Preach it.
In the Old Testament, the Jewish people didn't just come as they are to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
They had to undergo purification rites.
Yep.
And rituals. And they would bathe in pools, you know, and before they could enter into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
People had to prepare themselves internally and externally for worship.
Yes.
Both the Old and the New Testament suggest that people should not approach God in a casual manner.
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous.
Yes.
Psalms 24 says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?" That's a question.
Yep.
Who shall ascend to the hill? How many want to go to the hill of the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. How many want to go deeper than you've ever been before?
Yes.
How many want to come right into the presence of the Almighty God?
Amen.
You want to experience God face to face.
Yep.
We want to ascend to the hill of the Lord. But who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now the clean hands talks about the outside. The pure heart talks about the inside.
Yep.
Amen? In Psalms 45, there's a messianic prophecy of Christ and the church. How many is the church? Do we have any church here?
Yeah.
We're all the church of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And so here's this messianic prophecy. And it said, So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. The king's daughter is all glorious within, her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework, the bride of Christ, clothed inside and outside. I think that's pretty neat. We dress first and foremost to please God and to show the beauty of His creation, which is you, all of us. We are the beauty of His creation.
Yes.
Amen.
We're all, male or female, we're the bride of Christ.
Yep.
And I believe God said in His Word that He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for His coming? That's the question. Are you ready? Do you really believe He's coming back?
Yeah.
Yes.
His Word says.
Are you ready? Every day, are you ready? Are you prepared?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get up in the morning and you say, Jesus,
mm-hmm,
I'm a bride, and I'm getting ready for the wedding. Well, that puts a different light on, don't it? Okay, now we're going to go back to Ephesians 4, righteousness. But first, we talked about we have to put on, we have to be clothed. But first, Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off
your former conduct.
That you put off, you can't just put on. God don't want stuff covered up. You got to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. He said, put it off. Amplified puts it this way. Strip yourselves of your former nature.
Amen.
Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion.
Yep.
Put it off. Get rid of that stuff. Not to be like that. Until we take it off, we get rid of our old lifestyle. How many had an old lifestyle? Things we used to say. Things we used to do. Places we used to go. People we used to hang out with. We need to get rid of unforgiveness. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of jealousy. Get rid of anger. Get rid of bad attitude. Get rid of impatience. Get rid of victim mentality. Get rid of lust and gossip and backbiting. And the list goes on. Get rid of it.
Amen.
Get rid of it. God don't want any of that stuff.
Nope.
It's not to be a part. We're not to have that on as our clothes. Come on.
That's right. Amen.
So what are you clothed with? When you go into Walmart or you go to work or wherever, what do people see?
Righteousness.
What we need. Yep. Do they see love and joy and peace and happiness? And
compassion.
Absolutely. Jesus told Lazarus, went to the tomb, oh, roll back the stone. Lazarus, come forth!
Yep.
And Lazarus walked out of that tomb.
Yes.
And Jesus says, take off your grave clothes. See, we was in a grave.
Yep.
Hallelujah. We was dead in sin. Take off your grave clothes. We have to choose to purpose to do this stuff.
Yes.
And get rid of it. Don't just put it in the closet.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Get rid of it.
Yep.
Then we put on spiritual clothes.
Amen.
Just like we spend time getting dressed in the natural. How many? Spend some time getting dressed in the natural.
Yep. You have to.
You're right. We need to spend time dressing spiritually.
Amen. That's so true.
Now, if it takes an hour,
so good.
Ladies, 2 hours.
Men, how many hours?
Whatever. But do you take half that time, just half that time, dressing in the spiritual every day?
Uh-huh. Come on.
You'll do what's important.
That's right.
Whatever you see as important, you will take the time to do it. It's called priorities.
Yes.
Put on Jesus. We are to be a personal representative of Jesus Christ. Or we are to represent Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to have behavior that represents Him. We don't act like everybody else.
Right.
We act like Jesus. Colossians 3:12. Clothe yourself therefore as God's own chosen one, His hand-picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God Himself by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. That's what we're to have. Deuteronomy 6:25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us.
Amen.
So do we do all that the Lord our God has commanded us? How many know what all He's told us we need to do? Well, we need to get in His Word, right?
Yeah.
Now, you guys, I've told you this before. I will tell you it again and again and again. Don't just believe what I tell you. You get in the Word and you find out for yourself.
That's
study the Word of God. Do you know there was a time when it was illegal for people to read the Word of God? We're blessed.
Yes, amen.
We have the Word of God. There was a time when it was illegal. There was a time when it was in Latin only. And they guarded that with their life. Was it John Wycliffe that stood up and said that the Word of God should be in language that people can understand?
And read it.
And his followers were burned at the stake for that. John Wycliffe died, was buried, but about 30 or 40 years later, they dug him up. They put his bones on a stake, put a Bible on there, and they burned it. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. Remember we said being clothed also was armed.
Mm-hmm.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yep.
You know, there are times when we have relentless attacks on our minds. There's worries, there's concerns, there's fears, there's doubts.
Yep.
And understand that most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, the devil's behind us.
Amen.
Sometimes we create problems.
Amen.
But most of the time, it's the devil. Amen. Because he comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Hallelujah.
Yes,
but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Come on, somebody get excited.
Hallelujah.
You know, this should be a shouting church. You know, you're making a statement in the spirit realm.
Amen. That's right.
When you respond to the Word of God, you make a statement.
Yes.
When you get excited, the angels, the holy angels of God, get excited.
Yes, they do.
They get stirred up.
Yep.
Oh, come on. And when you don't get excited, the angels are standing there.
Wake up, angels.
No, it's us.
The angels respond to the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, I preached a message on, are your angels unemployed?
Mm-hmm.
No.
You know, when we get excited, it's like the angels are here. What do you want?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you want to do, God? What do you want? God, they're excited. They're expecting God. What do you want to do? What do you want us to do? Oh, if you could just see in the spirit realm.
Amen. Glory. Yes.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Amen.
See, we're soldiers in the army of God.
Right.
We have weapons. God has given us His name. He's given us His word. He's given us His blood. We're a mighty army.
Yep.
If the army would just wake up.
Amen.
If the church would ever wake up and understand how much power they have, if they would begin to walk in authority the way God meant to be, the demons in hell would shake and quake.
Amen.
They would run.
Not only do we have His name, His word, His blood, we have authority over the devil.
That's right. Amen.
Stand therefore, because we have all this, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness.
Amen.
So here we are. We're clothed. The armor of God, we have the breastplate of righteousness. Our loins girt about with truth. The Word of God is truth. We need to begin speaking truth over everything, every situation, every problem. We need to speak the Word of God over it. We need to speak truth.
Yes.
Not what it looks like, not what it seems like, not what the devil says, but what God says.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you're, if we have all this done, right?
Uh-huh.
But if we lose our temper,
uh-huh.
If we lose our temper,
yep.
We lose a piece of our spiritual armor.
Sure do.
And now we're partly naked.
Uh-huh.
We're partly exposed. But if we're not aware of the spiritual realm, we just walk off exposed to the enemy.
Amen. Yep.
Think about it. So if we lose our temper,
mm-hmm.
If we get into gossip,
yep.
If we get into backbiting, if we get into whatever else, we get into lust. We get into jealousy. We get into pride. We get into whatever, a piece of our clothes, a piece of our armor falls off.
That's right.
And we wonder why we're attacked.
Yep.
What opened the door?
Mm-hmm.
What gave the enemy opportunity to come in? If you were going down the street and your pants fell off.
Yep.
Now I'm sure you've seen kids going down the street.
Oh, yeah.
And you wonder just how long?
Mm-hmm.
How long before gravity takes over?
Yeah.
And you'll see three more steps.
Yep.
But if they fell off, I bet we'd all be quick to pull them back up. Because we won't want to be naked.
That's right.
But how about in the spirit realm?
That's right.
See, we know that gravity will take over if there's nothing holding them up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's trying to pull them down in the spirit realm?
Yeah.
In the spirit realm, are your loins girt about with truth? Do you have the belt of truth on?
Yes. Always.
Holding them up. Is it tight?
Mm-hmm.
And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace is part of your spiritual clothing.
That's right.
It hurts your walk with God when you don't stay in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And taking the shield of faith, another part of your clothing, the shield of faith. How's your faith?
Strong.
Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And take the helmet of salvation. Do you know what all salvation is? Do you have the helmet of salvation?
Mm-hmm.
Do you declare everything that is in salvation over your life? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, more clothing, more armor, praying always with all prayer. Prayer is another one.
Amen.
Do you have prayer on
mm-hmm.
as your clothing? Watching is another part of clothes.
Yes.
Thereunto with all perseverance. Perseverance is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And supplication for all saints.
That's right.
So we've took off. We've received the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took off a lot of stuff. Junk. Some stuff just automatically falls off. Come on.
Amen.
And then some stuff we got to work on.
Yes.
You might say get down to the bare bones.
Mm-hmm.
And then put on. Come on, we talked about putting on what we had to put on. And now guard your clothes.
Yeah.
Guard them.
Amen.
Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now, I looked up one of the commentaries. Maybe it was Gill. Not sure. And here's how he expounded on this. Blessed is he that watcheth against sin, the lust of the flesh, and the cares of this life, lest they bring a sleepiness upon him, and so the day of the Lord come upon him at an unawares, and against Satan and his temptations, who goes about seeking whom he may devour, against his emissaries and false teachers who lie in wait to deceive. Blessed is he also who is wishing and waiting for the coming of Christ, and so, being ready, will enter with him into the marriage chamber and partake of the supper of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
That's he that watcheth.
Mm-hmm.
And keepeth his garments, either his conversation garments, unspotted from the world, and whenever defiled, washes them, and makes them white in the blood of the Lamb, and keeps them from being stripped of them, by those who would lead them into sinful ways, or that keeps and hold fast the robe of Christ's righteousness and garments of his salvation, which are the righteousness of the saints, that fine linen, clean and white, that white raiment, which only can cover their nakedness, that the shame does not appear.
Mm-hmm.
Lest he walk naked. Naked of the commandments, or good works according to the Jewish phrase, having lost or dropped his conversation garments. And they see his shame. Or lest being naked, he be exposed to shame, confusion, yea, to everlasting ruin and destruction. Woo!
Glory, hallelujah.
That's a lot of expounding, isn't it?
Amen.
So how do we guard our spiritual clothes? How many want to guard your spiritual clothes? How many know how important they are? Well, the first thing is, realize we have an enemy that wants to steal anything that brings glory to God.
Yes, it does.
Anything that you value in your walk with God, the enemy wants to come and he wants to steal it. And he don't care how he gets it. By hook or by crook,
yep.
He'll just come and get it.
Amen.
He may take it by force. Or he may take it by what you allow him to have.
That's right.
But he wants to steal. Number two, pursue God and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amplified puts it this way, blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous. In that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness or uprightness and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied.
Amen. Chapter and verses?
Matthew 5:6.
Thank you.
Next point. The instant we feel something is not right,
yep.
We need to take authority over it.
Amen.
So we can stay clean,
yes.
And clothed before the Father.
Yes. Oh,
last scripture. Romans 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice. And give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
Amen.
Guard your clothes. Guard your clothes.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, we thank you and we praise you, God. Father, thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for the warning, Lord God.
Yes,
Lord. Father, as we seek you, Lord God, God, show us, Lord God, any junk, Lord God, any of the old stuff, Lord God,
mm-hmm.
That might be hanging on, Lord God. God, so that we can see it, Lord God, and we can desire to be rid of the old stuff, Lord God. And God, help us, Lord God, to cast off anything that's clinging, anything that's displeasing to you, Lord God. God, help us to get rid of it, Father. God, once it's dealt with, Father, help us, Lord God, to be clothed continually, Lord God, with everything that pleases you, Father. And God, help us to stay awake, to guard it, to protect it, to value it, to treasure it, Lord God. God, knowing, Father, that you're coming, Lord God, and you're coming soon, Jesus.
Yes.
You're coming soon as like a thief in the night, so fast, so unaware, you are coming. As you left, you are coming back. Hallelujah. And you are coming for a bride. You are coming for the church. You are coming for a bride without spot or without wrinkle. Hallelujah, God. And God, we want to be waiting. We want to be expecting, Lord God. We want to be desiring, Lord God, to be the bride you've been waiting for, Lord God. Oh, Father, help us, Lord God. Oh, Father, we give you glory. We give you honor in this place, Lord God. God, may we ever be waiting, be watchful. May we not slumber or sleep, Lord God. God, that's always expecting. Every day, every minute of every day, expecting the return of Christ. God, we give you glory and honor, Father. Hallelujah, God. God, you're awesome. You're mighty, you're glorious, Lord God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Father, that it's your will, Lord God. It's your will for us to be clothed in righteousness. Mm-hmm. And we say, Father, let your kingdom come, mm-hmm. and let your will be done.
Yes.
In every one of these temples, in this place. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone that came out today, Lord God. God, I thank you for the seeds you've sown, Lord God.
Yes.
God, the ground you water, Lord God.
Oh, yes.
God, the fruit, Lord God.
Jesus,
that is
Jesus,
on the vine, Lord God.
Jesus,
and God, I bless your people this day with all the blessings of Abraham.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus. And everyone said,